Welcome back into Sports Talk here on WWL. Steve Gell along with Charlie Long. And happy to welcome in now Justin Mello, who covers the NFL for the Draft Network, as we get ready for the offseason. Even though we got playoffs to talk about this weekend, there's a lot of teams already looking ahead to the draft, man. And Justin, you know, Saints fans are already picking away at that number 8 pick, trying to decide what this black and gold bunch should do with that selection. So I was like, man, let me call a guy I feel knows so much about this draft. And all of a sudden, you know, the Senior Bowl is coming up too as well. I know, see you out there. Just a fun time with the offseason coming up, and so many of these prospects to talk about. Is there anything at number 8 that stands out for you as a must for the black and gold, that if they're available, it's a no-brainer? And a lot of folks right now, to me, I think the most popular selection is if Jeremiah Love, the running back from Notre Dame, is there. A lot of folks seem to be locking in as that as their wish list number 1 pick for the Saints.
Well, I think the New Orleans Saints are entering the draft in a really good position. You know, being at number 8 overall, a little bit lower than most of us expected at the beginning of the year.
Right.
It's a good problem to have, right? I think you look at the way the year ended. They finished hot. They won a bunch of games in a row at the end there. Coming out of this season, I think they probably learned two things that every NFL franchise in their position wants to learn, right? It's that, hey, we believe we've got a good head coach, right? That's number 1. They took a bit of a chance on Kellen Moore. Anytime it's a first-time candidate, there's always the risk there that you don't know how it's going to go. I think Kellen Moore did a great job in his first season in New Orleans. You feel real good about that. And, of course, you feel good about the quarterback. You know, Tyler Shrug steps into the lineup roughly midway through, a little earlier than that, and really played like a franchise quarterback down the stretch, right? So they enter this draft going, we believe we've got our coach and we believe we have our quarterback. They've got some young pieces on the offensive line. They spent back-to-back picks there at offensive tackle. So they feel good about how they have fortified that unit. They're in a good spot. You know, I think you look at, I don't know, I wouldn't go as far to say best player available yet. Yeah. I don't think that roster is quite in that position. But I look at edge. You know, this is a really good draft, at least at the top at the edge rushing spot. You know, Cameron Jordan's not going to be around forever. I know Saints fans would love to put him in like one of those chambers and keep him around, but I don't think he's going to be there forever. I look at certainly someone like Jeremiah Love. You got an offensive-minded head coach who you believe in as a schemer and a designer of plays. You'd love to see what he could do with a talent, dynamic talent like that. Certainly Alvin Kamara, I would maybe put in the Cameron Jordan bucket, is not going to be around for much longer. I look at maybe a supporting wide receiver to get in that offense and help the young quarterback. I think they could use another cornerback at some point as well. But they're in a really good spot to probably stick and pick at number 8 and know that they're going to be able to get a really good prospect that will address one of their needs.
You know, Justin, I think it's interesting. There's 3 potential edge rushers that go in the top 10 here, with Ohio State's Arvell Reese, Miami's Reuben Bain, Texas Tech's David Bailey. All 3 of them are kind of different in different ways. I just want to get your thoughts on those guys, because like you had mentioned, edge rusher Cam Jordan's not going to be around forever. Maybe if the Saints don't go with an offensive weapon like a lot of folks are saying they might do, if it's not Jeremiah Love, then going with one of the top weapons at receiver, because there's a few of those that are going to go in the top 10 as well, that one of these top premier edge rushers in the top 10 picks could potentially fall to them at pick 8 and they could jump on it.
Yeah, this is a fascinating discussion at edge. And by the way, I could have the same discussion at wide receiver, because
right,
I think there are 3 guys that are all different and have question marks. But at the edge spot specifically, you know, my rundown, Arvell Reese might have the most athletic athleticism and probably upside of the 3. He might also be the biggest projection, right? He was playing off-ball linebacker at Ohio State. It really bummed me out that down the stretch of their season, the Buckeyes season, Matt Patricia, their defensive coordinator, wasn't giving him a whole lot of opportunities to rush the passer. I mean, selfishly, I would have really liked to have seen that from an evaluation perspective. He had no sacks in his last 6 games, but you've got to watch the tape. He wasn't rushing the passer anymore. He was playing a bit of a C-ball, chase ball, off-ball role. And, you're projecting that he's going to be an edge rusher. Now, listen, there are a couple guys in recent drafts that do him some favors, right? You look at the transition that Micah Parsons made. You look at the transition that Abdul Carter made. I could see Arvell Reese following a similar path and making a similar transition. But right now it's a question mark, right? Because he didn't do it with a lot of consistency at Ohio State. When I get to Reuben Bain Jr., he's responded to the criticism in recent weeks in stunning fashion. He's been really good throughout the college football playoff. Really good game in the first upset there over Texas A&M. Then maybe an even better game in the stunning upset over Ohio State. You know, what scouts are saying about him is that he's going to have real short arms, right? When they get to the measurement process, just to give you an example, when Aiden Hutchinson was coming out, and you might recall, we had a similar discussion about arm length. His arms aren't long enough. In fact, probably a big reason why the Jacksonville Jaguars didn't take him at number one overall. Well, here's the comparison for you. Aiden Hutchinson had about 33-inch arms, right? And we called that short. Reuben Bain is going to come in around 30 and a half, 31. I mean, it only sounds like two and a half inches. It is unprecedented when it comes to arm length at the edge rushing position. It's unbelievably short. We're talking about a 2, 3, 4 percentile result in the arm length department. So, yeah, scouts are going to have a real problem with that. It's one of those things they're very nitpicky about. In fact, it's got some of them claiming he might be a three tech, a defensive tackle at the next level. And that almost puts him in the Arvell Reese conversation. It's a bit of, if you think this guy's got to switch positions, then it's a projection. You know, I like him out on the edge. I don't think it's straightforward to say that he's a defensive tackle. When I watch him rush the passer, I think he does a great job with that distance between him and the tackle. He's able to get some build-up speed, some build-up power. You put him inside there at the tackle. Now you're talking about him fighting in closed quarters. I don't know that I feel the same way about him. So that's a huge question mark we'll be tracking throughout the process. As when you get to David Bailey, the questions are different, but I still think there are some concerns there. Now, listen, he's probably got the most polished pass rush arsenal of the three. Certainly, you watch him on tape, speed, athleticism, turns the corner really well, wins that outside shoulder, can bend and turn the arc. No doubt about it, he's athletic. I think he converts speed to power at a high level as well. He's got a great spin move. Like, this is a diverse pass rush arsenal. But he is a little bit undersized to play on early downs. And a lot of times, Texas Tech was taking him off the field on those run-stopping downs. Now, that's one of those things where you might say, you're overthinking it. The guy can rush the passer at a high level. He had 14.5 sacks this year, led college football D1 with that amount. He was phenomenal in that playoff loss against Oregon. Really did his pre-draft stock a lot of favors. But the teams, you know, they get nitpicky over that too. They want you to be able to stop the run early down. If I'm picking a guy at 5, 6, 7, 8 overall, I don't necessarily want him to be a situational pass rusher. I don't want to have to take him off the field occasionally. So I think all three of these edge rushers, the valuations are very different. All of them have their questions, and it might be a pick your flavor. You know, not everyone's going to rank all three of them the same way.
Looking at some of the wide receivers, Justin, with that 8th overall pick, you would think maybe you would have Carnell Tate from Ohio State or a Jordan Tyson, Arizona State, available for the Saints to select. Do you see either one of those two as a better fit than the other in Kellen Moore's scheme?
Well, I look at what Chris Olave does. Terrific short to intermediate route runner, can play the Z, can play the slot. I think if they want to diversify their pass-catching corps, both of them can probably play the X spot. I think Carnell Tate's got a bit better size out there on the outside. Might be your prototype X receiver. But I think Jordan Tyson is really good playing outside, too. And I think he's got the frame to go up and make contested catches. He did that on tape a lot at Arizona State. So I certainly think both of those guys might be able to fit what Kellen Moore is looking for. I can get long-winded at receiver, too. You know, I think with Tate, I do think he's probably going to be the wide receiver one in this draft, but I don't know that I see a high-end elite prospect. Now, the Saints may not need him to be that guy because you pair someone with Chris Olave, you don't need to be a Jamar Chase when you've got Chris Olave opposite you, right? Like, you don't need to be a guy that needs to see 15, 16 targets every single week you need to come in and play your role, play opposite Olave, be a sort of a maybe a 1B to his 1A. And I think you feel good, really good about Carnell Tate in a role like that. I think the ceiling is probably higher with Jordan Tyson. I mean, if he can stay healthy, and that's the big question mark with him, I do think there's a bit more potential to explore with his upside. Now, the elephant in the room is he's missed about 40%. And I've been saying that number purposely because I wanted to scare you because I want you to understand what you're dealing with here. He missed about 40% of his college football career with injury. Now, he had the torn ACL many years ago at Colorado. He seemed to get past that. Some of the other stuff has maybe been a little freakish, maybe it's some bad luck, collarbone, he had a hamstring. Certainly hasn't repeated the season-ending variety of injury. But, you know, when there's smoke, there's fire. Why has he had so many of these sort of little nagging injuries that have caused him to miss maybe you'd even say a significant amount of time every single year? There's something that seems to sideline him for 3, 4, 5 weeks every season. And it's always something different, right? It was the knee. It was the collarbone. It was the hamstring. So there are going to be question marks about, you know, the medicals are going to be huge for him throughout this process. I also really like Mekhi Lemon out of USC. You know, I don't think people are including him enough in this conversation at wide receiver. I'll read you two names that are going to do him a lot of favors. I talked about Abdul Carter and Micah Parsons being a good example for Arvell Reese. Well, in Mekhi Lemon's case, it's Amon-Ra St. Brown and it's Jackson Smith and Jigba because, you know, here's a guy in Mekhi Lemon that doesn't have the size to play outside. He's certainly not going to play X in anybody's offense. Maybe there's enough versatility to play Z, but he certainly looks like an everyday slot, right? He, just like some of those guys, JSN and Amon-Ra St. Brown, he quickly uncovers. He's a QB-friendly target, really good at creating separation. He's also outstanding at making contested catches for his size. I don't know that I've ever seen a 5'10 receiver with his ability to go climb the ladder over defenders and come down with those 50-50 balls. So I'm not saying he's going to be the first receiver drafted. It'll probably be Carnell Tate or Jordan Tyson, but whichever one of those guys is your perceived number two, don't be surprised if Mekhi Lemon gets drafted ahead of that guy.
Lemon catches everything, Justin. I mean, anything that's in his vicinity, as you mentioned, he's fantastic. And he plays so much bigger than his size because that is the number one detriment to him. But he is super, super electric to watch on tape. My last one for you, I wanted to bring up Caleb Downs because, Justin, I know we've talked with you in the past about positional value and how certain positions like running back and safety are a little bit devalued. And that's maybe why Caleb Downs might slide a little bit in the early first round. But if he's there at pick eight, I think the Saints would potentially run that pick up to the podium and feel pretty good about it. Having Caleb Downs, Jonas Sanker as your safety duo of the future, but Downs, his positional versatility as a safety is, I think, what also makes him really impressive. You see some of these players that teams draft in the first round or maybe even early second round, like Eman Wari last year for Seattle, where you can play them in a couple different spots in the secondary and it enhances their value for your defense. I just think Caleb Downs, if you're talking about players you would bet would have double-digit NFL careers, that you think they're going to be in the NFL for a long time, long productive career, I don't think it really gets any further than Caleb Downs.
He's the best prospect in this draft. He's number one on my big board right now. I'll tell you, the comedian in me finds it hilarious that if you were stacking a big board right now and just say, who's the best overall prospects, regardless of positional value, is it not a safety at number one and a running back at number two? Like, it's got to be Caleb Downs and Jeremiah Love. They are the most straightforward evaluations, the best, most dynamic prospects in this class. So I'm fascinated to watch this process unfold for them and see where they end up because, yes, the positional value conversation, of course, it's a very real thing. And you know, we're talking Caleb, but in Jeremiah's case, you know, you saw a team take a running back at six last year. It didn't work out well. The Raiders are a disaster. That might impact the conversation around him. At safety, I mean, I remember when Kyle Hamilton might have been the best player in the draft, but went like 14th overall, you know, partially due to the positional value question. So it's fascinating to see what's going to happen with a prospect like Caleb Downs. But I will say this, I don't think this draft features a lot of high-end talent, right? Like, we just asked a bunch of questions about the three top edges, the top wide receivers. There is no straightforward offensive tackle that's the best tackle in this class. Like, the best one might be a guard, right, in the Miami kid. So you look at the, you know, some of the premium positions, edge, wide receiver, offensive line, none of them are just straightforward, right? There's not a guy that would be a no-brainer number one pick if this wasn't a quarterback's draft. So I wonder if that, because that's a fact in my opinion, right? Like, this is not a high-end talent draft. That might get teams to say, forget the positional value. I'm just going to take Caleb Downs here at number three. He's not going to go number one. I don't think he's going to go. I mean, he could go number two if Dante Moore doesn't declare. But I think teams are going to be more than willing to kind of overlook the positional value thing and say, hey, I'm just going to get a Caleb Downs, or I'm just going to get a Jeremiah Love because I like them a lot better than what else is available. It's going to be fascinating to watch that process unfold for these two prospects.
Justin, always top-tier breakdowns from you. Appreciate the time as always, man. Thank you.
Pleasure was all mine. You guys know where to find me.
Thanks, Justin.
Justin Mello, you can find them at the Draft Network, covers the NFL there. You can follow them also on Twitter or X at Justin M_NFL. You heard him. Great info there.